If politics makes strange bedfellows, religion makes even stranger bedfellows. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had little in common except their hatred for Jesus. In fact, their hatred for Jesus brought these two unlikely groups together as allies, illustrating the ancient proverb, "The enemy of my enemy is my friend." These two sayings illustrate well Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 to 12. Matthew writes, "The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, 'When evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah.' Jesus then left them and went away. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. 'Be careful,' Jesus said to them. 'Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees.' They discussed this among themselves and said, 'It is because we didn't bring any bread.' Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, 'You of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees.' Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." As I said previously, the Pharisees and Sadducees had little in common except for their hatred of Jesus. The Pharisees were legalistic, dismissing the great truths of the Old Testament while adding hundreds of minute rules and traditions to the law. They were hypocritical and prideful. The Sadducees, on the other hand, were worldly minded. They rejected the supernatural, such as angels, resurrection, and future punishment. They were rationalists and secularists. What united these two groups was their insensitivity to spiritual things, especially concerning Jesus and his claims, and their unbelief born of a human-centered mentality. Their thinking was man-centered versus God-centered. They were insensitive to spiritual things. The astounding thing that we learn in Matthew 16 is that Jesus says that the disciples were closer in their thinking to the Pharisees and Sadducees than they were to the thinking of Jesus Christ. In a large way, Matthew 16 is instructions for these disciples, as the Daily Walk Bible explains in its overview. It is clear that Jesus' primary concern is for the disciples, those he will soon leave behind to continue the work he has begun. His miracles and parables, healings and discourses, all focus on his faithful followers to prepare them for difficult days just ahead. In Matthew 16, verses 1 to 4, the Pharisees and the Sadducees confront Jesus in order to test him. They demand literally a sign from heaven to authenticate his claims, something along the lines of turning the moon blood red, or making the sun stand still, or calling down hail, rain, thunder, or fire. They reject out of hand all of the miracles Jesus has already done, such as healing the deaf and the mute and the blind and the lame, raising the dead, casting out demons, feeding the 5,000 and feeding the 4,000, miracles which had already authenticated his claims. But as Matthew Henry said, they rejected the signs which relieved the necessity of the sick and sorrowful and insisted upon some sign which would gratify the curiosity of the proud. Mark 8:12, the parallel passage, explains to us that before Jesus answered, he sighed deeply. They could interpret the weather signs in the sky, but they could not or would not understand the significance of his miracles. As Larry Richards points out, miracles are an encouragement to faith, but they cannot create faith. We believe first, then we see. Jesus explains that the only sign that they would be given would be the sign of Jonah. That's explained earlier in Matthew in chapter 12 and verse 40, where Jesus said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Well, the scene changes in verse 5. The setting now is a boat in which the disciples with Jesus are crossing the lake. They are on the western shore and they of the Sea of Galilee, going to the northeastern part of the Sea of Galilee, the area of Bethsaida. It was an area that was particularly sparse. So it mattered that verse 5 tells us when they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Using that as a jumping off point to teach them, Jesus says, "Be careful. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Sadducees and Pharisees." Now, yeast in the scripture is a common analogy for evil. It's applied to various kinds of wickedness and corruption. The idea is that something very small has far-reaching and permeating and pervasive effects. You see, the ideas that you and I accept have far-reaching consequences. What united the Pharisees and Sadducees was their rejection of biblical authority for their own ideas, their rejection of spiritual realities, their rejection of Jesus. The disciples were in danger of accepting a man-centered philosophy rather than being God-centered, as the following exchange shows us. Verse 7 tells us they discussed this among themselves and said, "It is because we didn't have any bread." You can imagine this discussion. It's in the imperfect tense in Greek, which meant that it went on for a time. And you can just imagine, do you know what he means? Anyone here ever been a baker? We shouldn't eat with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, or don't buy bread from the Pharisees and Sadducees. And you can hear the discussion soon changing to blame. "Peter, I thought you were supposed to bring the bread." "No, John, you were." "No, Andrew, you were." And so on and so forth. But you see, the contrast is between Jesus, who's thinking about the evil attitude of the Pharisees and their rejection of him and of the truth, while the disciples are thinking about food. Well, verses 9 and 10 show us that Jesus could not have been talking about bread. And he reminds them about his feeding of the 5,000, in which he took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and everyone ate, 5,000 men plus women and children ate, and there were 12 basketfuls of food left over. He reminded them of the feeding of the 4,000, where he took 7 loaves and a few small fish, and fed 4,000 men plus women and children, and had 7 hamperfuls of food left over. Their need was not to worry about literal bread, but rather they were missing the point that Jesus was talking about, the teaching of the Pharisees, the teaching of the Sadducees. They had forgotten about Jesus' miracles themselves. Well, Jesus is trying to get them to think past physical needs and to think in terms of spiritual issues, to be alert spiritually. We read in verse 11, "How is it that you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread, but be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees," meaning the teaching of the Pharisees, the teaching of the Sadducees, their man-centered teaching. It's interesting that instead of telling them his meaning plainly, Jesus challenged them to think. D.A. Carson said this, "Instead of explaining the meaning of the metaphor of the yeast, Jesus repeats it. This suggests that Jesus is trying to train his disciples to think deeply about the revelation he is giving them and is not content to keep on spoon-feeding them." Jesus wants us to think deeply. He doesn't want to continue to spoon-feed us. We are to be growing in our knowledge of the Word of God, growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace. Paraphrasing Matthew Henry, he said this, "Jesus didn't tell them expressly what he meant. He repeated what he said, obligating them to work through it, to arrive at what he meant. And those truths are most precious, which we have thus digged for." Well, finally, verse 12 tells us that they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now that leads us to ask a question this morning. What false ideas or false doctrine confronts believers today? This passage is a warning against rejecting biblical authority for a man-centered mentality. In what ways do we need Jesus' warning today? Some ways that we, like the religious leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees, are like, some ways that we are like them, is that out of spiritual insensitivity, we follow human-centered thinking. There is a contemporary emphasis upon happiness as the goal of Christianity. We see today that the hard work of spiritual growth is being rejected as Christians look for shortcuts instead. We see the teaching of self-help philosophies baptized with a Bible verse, usually taken out of context. We see the rejecting today of biblical truth to accommodate culture. And last, we see the rejection of the uniqueness of Christianity and the exclusiveness of the gospel and the exclusiveness of Jesus Christ to provide salvation. Peter tells us that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to help us to think biblically and Christianly. In Jesus' name, amen.